You're listening to Sweats, Not and Tears, brought to you by Netmums. I'm Annie O'Leary.
And I'm Wendy Gollidge. And together we talk about all of this week's sweaty, snotty and tearful parenting moments.
With guests who are far more interesting than we are.
Big thanks to the sponsor of this episode, Tropicana Lean. If you're anything like me, you're always on the hunt for new family favourites that are lower in sugar and full of flavour.
Absolutely. So we have to share that we're loving Tropicana's new juice drink, Tropicana Lean, which has 40% less sugar than fruit juice on average, but still full of taste. It's also got absolutely no added sugars or sweeteners.
Delicious! Now, let's meet this week's guest. Hello, Sweats, Not and Teary Lot. How are you today? We are feeling flatter than my voice sounds. Wendy, we're not doing well this week, are we?
We are done. Done with homeschool, done with lockdown, done with the people I married, done with the people I gave birth to, done.
Great. So are you
promise not to be this miserable for the whole podcast. I'm very sorry. I will cheer up in a moment.
So are you saying it's mostly sweat, snot or tears in your house, Wend?
Tears. All tears.
Yeah.
Tears, I think skin in my house. That's what it is this week.
I think we need to add a new category. I think we need to rename the podcast Sweat, Snot, Tears and Beyond Tears into Doom and Gloom, because I think I've gone even beyond the crying now.
For God's sake, introduce the guest. She's got to be
cheering with us. Okay, so the good news is this week's guest is a very upbeat, lively, fun person who can save us all from the...
No pressure!
Right, Mylene, help us, please.
I'll try. It sounds like you've gone down. You've gone right into the swamp.
So come on, tell us how your lockdown's going.
I mean, it's similar scenes at times. Other times I think, yeah, I've got this, and I go back to, oh my God, how much longer? I think what hit this week is that my daughter's going to have her second lockdown birthday, and this time last year I said to her, look, in a couple of weeks I'll just move everything forward, and then I said to her after that couple of weeks, don't worry because we'll move it forward again, and then we're now on the second lockdown birthday, and I don't know what I'm gonna say.
I know, that's really, really tough. So how old are the kids now? Talk us through
I've got a 13-year-old, I've got a 9-year-old, I've got a 16-month-old, and then I've got two stepchildren, 9 and 13.
Wow.
Enough for a party, yeah.
No, you quite do. So the birthday thing will actually be fine?
Yeah, no, we'll be fine. We'll be fine if everyone's still speaking. Yeah, we'll be great.
Fascinated. Out of all of those ages of children, which age group do you think is handling it best?
That's a really good question, because actually watching the whole lockdown scenario unfold at different ages, myself included, everyone's got their own challenges, not a doubt about it. So my 13-year-old, you know, she's been phenomenal. She really has been. She's really taken to helping me with the baby. She's been learning loads from a work perspective with me, but she's got that massive gap in her social life, which at 13, going on to 14, you should be hanging out with your mates. You should not be hanging out with your mum.
Yeah.
As much as I love it, do not get me wrong, and it's just been phenomenal, but I really feel for her. So on as you know, as a teenager, her teenage years so far, it's all socials, isn't it? And then with my 9-year-old, she's desperate to see her friends. Absolutely desperate. My 9-year-old's like a firework. She's just fizzing with energy. And, you know, I've sort of just locked her in a room doing her homeschooling. It's just so against what she naturally would be doing. And for my 16-month-old baby, I feel that he just doesn't have any mates. It's just everything goes against what you would naturally be doing. You'd want him to be sort of tearing around in the park with his friends, and that's just not the case. And then obviously there's the parents. I love being at home with my family. I'm enjoying that side of things. I miss my friends terribly. I miss having, because I've got a very sociable household. It's near the park, so everyone always stops by on the way to or from the park, has a cup of tea. It just feels like, I feel like, you know, that expectation of, I want to live in the moment. I think as mums, you should always teach your kids to live in the moment. But we've also got that expectation of soon, this will soon pass and we will be able to do A, B, C and D. But I don't know if that's ever going to happen.
It's got to be coming. It's got to be coming.
Please. I don't know. It's not being on a downer as such, but the idea of things as they were. I think you have to adjust and explain to your kids it probably won't be like that. Well, it won't be. There's a massive gap in kids' education and kids' social skills and even just kids' clubs and just going out. And I think you have to readjust and try and realign.
Yeah, I think it will be a different world.
That's okay. We will guide them through it. We'll guide them through it.
We will.
Who's going to guide us?
I'm going to go back to the first question we always ask our guests, which is, has there been any sweat, snot or tears in your house today?
Sweat daily, because I find that it's just the little things that can just topple everything. If my kids can't get onto the Wi-Fi or if they are struggling with their homework, it just becomes pandemonium. Snot, I've got a 16-month-year-old, that's his modus operandi. Tears, all daily, snot. Hourly, from everybody involved.
Yeah.
I think it's a really frustrating time because it's the uncertainty. We know we're living through a historical period. We know that this has obviously never been before, and it's a massive period of change, and no one knows how to navigate it. And so in so doing, you know, when mums are meant to have all the answers and we just don't have them, we're as sort of as lost as everybody else. I think it's okay to admit that and show that to your kids. But at the same time, it's incredibly frustrating because what we do as mums is we fix things, don't we?
Well, we try.
Well, geez, I'm spending my whole day fixing stuff from the cupboard and to the lights and to whatever else has been broken during the day.
Yeah.
So what's it like having a 16-month-old tearing around with older girls, especially at the moment when you're, like you say, you're fixing Zoom and there's a homeschool nightmare here? And how does that work? What's it like?
I think because he's not my first baby, I think the comparisons are quite apparent because I always think of what I would be doing and all those clubs you'd be using all that energy up. And he's super energetic. And my girls, when they were babies, they would sit and read a book or look at a book, sorry. They weren't quite reading books at that age, but they would sit and play with their toys. Or he will not sit ever, not from the minute he wakes up to the moment he goes back to sleep. He will not sit still. And I'm not used to that kind of energy. I don't know if that's just because that's who he is. So if that is boys and that's the difference, but I feel like I want to try and keep him as occupied as possible. And my partner did Dry January and cleared out all the wine bottles on the wine rack, and my baby's literally been climbing the wine rack. that's the closest to any kind of apparatus or wall that he can scale. I mean, he's not far behind my partner either, who's also climbing the wine rack, but it's one of those things that I just want to be able to just get him out there and use that energy up. And that's I suppose the biggest challenge for him, but he doesn't know any different, and I have to keep reminding myself of that.
And do the girls find him a nice distraction, or is it tough trying to keep him quiet while they're trying to learn and all of that?
No. I've had to have a word with my daughter, my eldest daughter, because she wants to bring him in every two seconds into her classroom, into her virtual classroom.
Sweet.
It's adorable. She's completely obsessed. She's like his mini mom. She really is. But I've had to say, look, this is your time. You need to learn as well. No one's listening to me, it's fine.
That is the mum motto of lockdown. Nobody is listening to
Nobody's
me.
Listening to a word. I find myself giving the same instruction 10, 20 times.
And do you find, like, this morning I was asking my littlest one to do something for maths, and she was like, well, I can't do it. And I'm like, well, you would do it for your teacher. And you're just so, I'm so quick to snap at them because I'm just not a natural teacher. I'm just rubbish at it.
I think it's just everything's frustrating. Everything. Because
yeah, all of it. All of it is.
You know, I asked you to come to the table. I asked you to come sit and eat your dinner. I asked you to put the things away. It's normal. Those things are normal as a mum. But they just feel, everything feels heightened at the moment. I think that's what it is. Everything's heightened. So if you can't do a sum, or they can't understand the sum, or you can't teach it to them, there's no sort of light as to, well, they'll sort it out on Monday when they go back in. It's just, no, nobody knows.
Well, this brings me on. I actually think that we should all shut up, because you've been incredibly publicly supportive of Kate Garraway. And ultimately, we're all sat here moaning about homeschool and we're not going through something as awful as she is. So how do you support someone through something like that?
Especially now with distance, because it's not like you can just run and give her a big hug, is it?
I send donuts to her door for her kids. I send flowers to her door for her. I take over her show whenever I've just covered her show this week. So I sort of just keep the chair warm for her whenever she needs me to. I organised her kid's birthday party because she just didn't have a second to herself.
That's so kind of you. That's amazing.
Well, I got all my kids involved because I think it can be very easy just to look at, you know, what's going on in your own household and know about COVID. But unless you see what the actual impact is in someone else's home, then you can't really, well, how can you? You're a child. You can't relate it to your own circumstances. So, you know, the whole family, we all went over to her house. We helped set up the tent and put the TV in the tent for the kids. At the time, it wasn't tier four, so that you could do this kind of party. The girls put all the food out and they just, it's just about acknowledging that someone else is going through a different situation to your own, but you can do your bit. I think that's what I think I've tried to drum home to the girls, just do your bit. We've gone around and made sure they've collected for food banks and got the toys together for mothers who are living in the shelters at the minute. Just, again, do your bit. We've done our home schooling classes for music classes. Otherwise, I think it can just become quite insular. So, yeah, we're trying to keep ourselves as occupied as we can whilst also making sure we are doing, you know, pulling our weight to helping others, you know, who are in a really, really tough situation.
Really,
I mean, Kate's been phenomenal. She's been absolutely phenomenal, but she's a mum.
I don't know how she does it.
She's a mum. She can't do anything but, you know, keep on going because she has children. She's phenomenal. I think anybody who's been in a situation, you know, as a single mum will appreciate that you don't have that time to just let anything settle anyway. It's just the days do just keep rolling into one, and that's irrespective of how, you know, you got into that situation. It's one of those things that you don't have the let up. You don't have the time to just take 2 seconds to yourself. And that's, I suppose, the thing that I always think about when it comes to her or any of the mums who are doing it alone at the moment.
Yeah, I think single mums deserve medals, seriously, now, especially at all times. But listen, you're not exactly a stranger to keeping busy yourself, are you? You've had a really busy lockdown. Like, you were doing Dancing on Ice. You're still doing radio. You're talking to us. Like, how the hell are you fitting it all in?
I like to keep busy, and I like to show my girls that what I'm doing, you know, these are my choices, in as much as, you know, find a job that makes you happy and that makes you feel empowered and that can give you that satisfaction, and just run with it. Otherwise, I don't know. I feel that I don't have the situation of furlough. I'm not in that position. I'm self-employed and I do have to keep running. But at the same time, I do love what I do. You know, Mothercare got severely hit, went into liquidation. And so within 2 months, my manager and I, we managed to sign a contract on my driveway and start developing the new range, which has been our entire lockdown mission, which has been phenomenal. And yeah, it's, my girls have seen all of that happening, that even in the face of adversity, you just have to find a way to keep pushing forward. And that launch is in 3 weeks' time. It's going to,
I was going to say, when are we all going to see it?
It goes international in 3 weeks' time to 77 countries, and it's going to be a Next. So I'm over the moon. It's Smiling Class Kids for Next.
So tell us about it. What was it? Was it fun to do?
Oh, my gosh. So when I started designing, my kids' brand is the longest running celebrity brand in the UK, full stop. That's how long ago it was. So Ava's 13. I started designing when I was pregnant. So it's actually probably just coming up to 15 years old now, all in. And I wanted to make black and white monochrome clothes.
I remember going to the launch and thinking, wow, this is so brilliant because it's so unlike anything else on the market.
Thank you, because many people said I was mad. Many people wouldn't even take it on. They said it was morbid. These children look like they're going to a funeral. It's just not very user-friendly. And I'm like, are you joking? Black's the most user-friendly colour there is. Anyway, I ploughed on and it became such a successful range, and it's been phenomenally received by parents like yourself who, you know, who open their eyes to that kind of design. Leopard print, monochrome, black.
Which is everywhere now. Like, in some ways it was ahead of its time, wasn't it?
I look back and I'm like, oh my God, it really, really was ahead of its time. So now you've got all these Scandi designs and every other person's making leopard print tracksuits and all sorts. But I'm like, hang on a minute. I had to fight. I had to beat down a path to be allowed to design this kind of print. It was, I was, you know, given a massive cross every single time I tried to push that kind of print through by so many stores. And so the fact that now 15 years down the line that my range is still thriving, it's just incredible. That it is like my other baby. It really is.
Do the girls get involved at all? Do they have opinions on it now?
They really understand when something is, they understand all of it really, because they've grown up around it. They understand from the fabrics, the textures, the handwriting. They helped me to even just design the backnet labels. Hero got a sewing machine from Santa. So she helps me. Yeah. She's part of my workforce. Ava's more interested in
labour.
Well, the jobs are only half done, in fact. So I have to finish them off. And Ava gets involved with the branding of everything as well. She's more interested in that side of things. So it's been really nice to be able to show them that side of things. I didn't want them to think that just because it feels like the world has stopped, because very much so, you have to find a new way of working. And I think that to try and be as enterprising as you can, this is the right time to show, you know, the children where you can actually find new opportunities to either continue or to develop new ideas.
And where do you see it going beyond the launch in next? Like, are you going to branch into doing adult stuff or sports stuff, or have you got a long-term plan for it?
I can give you the exclusive. It's also adults. Yeah, the adult clothes there as well.
Very exciting.
When?
You'll see the photos soon enough, but it's all the mini me stuff. I just thought, well, look, hang on, I'm wearing leopard print. I don't want to get left out. Let's just make both. Let's make mum size and baby size.
That is so fun.
Plus, I'm literally in a tracksuit most hours. So it just made sense. If I'm making baby tracksuits, I might as well make some big ones as well for the mums.
I am all about the tracksuits.
Of course, it's what we're mooching around in. And I just think, again, I think that most of the changes in fashion have come about because of what is going on historically. You know, look at Coco Chanel. She just changed tailoring completely, and it was after the war. And I just think that actually it'll be quite interesting to see what does happen as a result of COVID and lockdown, and how people have been dressing in a more casual manner. Will we rebel, and will we just suddenly go full out all glam sequins, or will we just continue in our slouchies because we've all got, you know, into that pattern? It'll be quite an interesting thing to see what happens from a historical fashion point of view, and from a design point of view. I'm all for that.
Yeah, I think it is really interesting. Like, will we go completely over the top and burst out of our houses in like ball gowns, or
or will we go, do you know what, I've done enough, I'm staying in my tracksuit bottoms?
Yeah, I love my tracksuit now. I'm not taking it off ever.
Oh, I am so the latter. That's me. Done. Leggings rule. Okay.
I'm with you. I just want to be comfy. I really do. That's it. Comfy and cozy.
We're very sad that your Dancing on Ice career came to such an abrupt end. Were you loving it?
I'm okay with it, because the idea wasn't to try and win the show. The idea was to try and learn to skate. That was it. I've learned to skate. I've always been the mum on the side holding the coats. That's been my job, filming the kids, and you know, they loved it. Watch me, and they love skating, and I couldn't join in. I just stood on the side, and now I can join in. That's all I wanted to be able to do. And I didn't realize that when I did sign up, there was only three of us that had never skated in our lives. So it's a really daring show to take part in when you've
got terrifying.
I've got Olympians next to me, for goodness sake. I'm standing next to Chorval and Dean and Colin Jackson and Graham Bell. They've all stood on the podium at the Olympics, and there's me who's just been going around Ali Pali trying to not hold on to the side.
But weren't you terrified that you were going to break bones? I would never go on that.
Or chop a finger off.
Yes, all of the above. And then I realised I wasn't going fast enough to even achieve that.
Oh, okay. So it's to do with speed, is it?
Yes, you do need, like a bike, as my partner kept saying, if you haven't got any speed whatsoever, you will not stay upright on your bike.
I'm not entirely sure. One's partner calling one a bike is a very good thing.
I mean, that is probably the nicest thing he called me, because I've learned a lot of swear words in Russian and in Polish. And yeah, I've got a really good vocab now.
But you see, which is worse? I'm a celeb or dancing on ice? Because when I'm a celeb, you have to eat crap, eyeballs and kangaroo balls and all sorts. And on Dancing on Ice, you run the risk of chopping your fingers off. So which is worse?
I mean, you do get really hungry. If you want to go from the food element, you get super hungry doing both. I felt when I came off the ice rink every day, I felt like I'd been swimming. You know, when you're a kid and you just got straight on the school bus and ate your packed lunch. That's how I felt. With the danger factor, they both push you to physical limits. I think that's what I like. I want to show my girls, you know, to get out of their comfort zones, because I can't keep preaching at them, try new things, try and have a go, even if you can't do it, please have a go at this. And I can't keep doing it to them if I'm not doing it myself. So I think it was one of the coaches who said, you should have done this 20 years ago. And I thought, oh my God, even more so, I feel more determined to give it a go now. Because why is it when you become a mum, everyone just decides your life ends and that's it, you're just a facilitator?
It's true. If you had to do one of them again, which would you do?
I don't know if I'd fit into the bikini at the moment. Lockdown's been, there's been a lot of cheese in my lockdown.
Mylene's lockdown has been sponsored by cheese.
Yeah, it has. I don't know if I'd do either again. I don't believe in going backwards. I like to keep on moving forward. So I'd like to try a new thing.
Now, something else that kind of brought you to our attention in lockdown was that you spoke out very publicly about the miscarriage that you had on air. And you have actually been very kind of outspoken about miscarriage generally. Can you talk to us about why you've chosen or why you chose to go public about that? That's a very brave thing to do.
Gosh, I think it's because there are a lot of people speaking out about infant loss. And I took so much strength from them. And I just thought that maybe it was my turn. Maybe it was my time to speak up and help someone else. Mm. It would have been the story that I would have needed to hear. And I think the first miscarriage that I suffered was such a shock that I couldn't even imagine the level of pain that you could go to have a second, and then to have a third, and then a fourth on top of that. Mm. It's a world of pain that is unimaginable. And I don't think it ever goes away as such. But it's most definitely something that we're not alone in. And when you speak up about it, your other girlfriends come forward and say, yes, this happened to me. And yeah, you just have no idea. And then I thought, well, why don't we speak about it? Why are we made to feel the way we do? Why do you feel ashamed about it?
Mm. And what was the response like? Was it just...
It's an interesting one, actually. It's an interesting one because on the whole, I'd say 99% are from women like yourself who say, thank you, it happened to me. Thank you for being able to, you know, put it into words, I'm not there yet, or... You know, so some women who came forward saying that happened to me 29 years ago and I can still not even bear to think about it. It is a trauma for sure. And there are some people saying this is something you shouldn't be speaking about because, you know, it's very private, which in its own right makes me think we should be speaking about it more so. We speak about everything else, but anything that vaguely makes somebody feel uncomfortable then feels like it has to be censored. I had the same reaction actually when talking about breastfeeding, and you just think, why do people find these topics so difficult to discuss when it's actually help? It could be helping your daughter, it could be helping your sister, it could be helping you, but then we don't think twice about talking about bodies in a sexual way.
Mm.
Or it's easy to talk about the death of somebody's grandmother or their mom, but not of their child, which is, you know, no loss is easy, but this one is really swept under the carpet. And when I've seen how Chrissy Teigen's been treated.
Yes, absolutely.
How is that okay? Why is that okay? Why does anyone feel that they can comment on something that is just so personal? And she's so brave for what she's done. And I found that when I had my first miscarriage, all I ever did was Google other women that it had happened to. I'm very grateful actually to the women that came forward to help me. You know, I rang Amanda Holton. She's the one that I rang and I said, I need to find somebody that can help me.
And what did she say?
She gave me her midwife's phone number, and as a result, you know, this is the woman that held my hand all the way through it. She was phenomenal. But I'm very respectful that in order to have that lady in my life, it's because of what Amanda herself went through. And this is what I talk about, the women that help other women. They're the most incredible.
I know, because my next question was going to be, who helped you? Obviously, you speaking up was out of you wanting to help other people, but...
Well, I think it's almost like that baton that you do pass on. And if
it's like a long human chain. It's like a chain of womankind, isn't it?
Look, none of us are here forever. And what is the legacy you leave behind? Did you help other women? You know, I said it in the interview that you're referring to. Am I as ballsy as I think I am? You're talking about you were ahead of your time designing leopard print and black clothes. Now people would laugh if you said, hey, I've got this groundbreaking idea. But at the time, people wouldn't touch it. And then when I was presenting on TV pregnant, you should have seen the letters that I got from people saying, you know, they wanted to confine me to the countryside. They wanted to go back to that time. You shouldn't be on TV. Now, you won't think twice about it to see someone pregnant on TV. And now we've got to the stage where breastfeeding is still something that people feel uncomfortable with and talking about the loss of a child. And I'm just hoping that, well, you know what? Maybe in 15, 20 years' time, my own daughters will turn around and say, crikey, I remember what my mum went through and what my mum's friends went through and how they spoke up, and we don't have to experience that pressure now because of them. And then if that's the legacy we leave behind, I'll take that on the chin.
Well, it's interesting that you talk about legacies, because one of the questions we always ask on this podcast of our guests is, how do you want to be remembered? Is it important for you to be remembered as someone who helped push women forward?
I want to be able to have shown my children how to be a woman that can, you know, stand on her own two feet, how to be an independent woman. And in so doing, that they can then help other women do the same. Because there's so many things that have been kicked up, I think, over lockdown. You know, I said to my girls that whilst you stand at your computers and struggle with Wi-Fi, there are many children who don't have a computer. They're a year behind in their learning. And those who do maybe have one computer in the house, what do you do if there's two children that are trying to learn, three, four? And then what do you do if they don't get Wi-Fi? We've seen what Marcus Rashford has achieved with getting school meals for children who don't have the means to eat. There are families going hungry at the moment. It's just, there are so many issues that are being highlighted because of this lockdown. So yes, we're all going through a tough time, but many have it extremely tough. And so if you can alleviate even just one pressure that's going on at the moment, or you can speak up about it and do your bit. And if my girls can remember me as doing that, that will be enough. I don't expect the whole world to remember me for doing anything. It's not, you know, it'd be nice, but it's not necessary. I just need my own girls to remember that I did it.
So what's next for you, other than grown-up tracksuits? Oh, have you peaked? Is that it?
I mean, I think that might have just been the height of things there, isn't it? I think to be able to sustain what I've been doing is just, I still can't believe I have managed to do it. So to be able to launch a new range in lockdown, to be able to continue with radio, to formulate new music school lessons. I'll tell you what's been funny. So these music lessons that we put together, my sister who lives in Australia said, oh, I got sent this link that if I wanted my daughter to take part in a free school, a free music lesson, you know, she should join.
Oh, was it you?
And she said, and it was you. But I mean, it made me laugh because I thought, my God, it's like, it's just on a global scale. They're passing around the message of these free lessons that we've done. And then one of the schools in the area, they've started adding it to their curriculum too as well. So I'm thinking, the arts took such a hammering and continues to in lockdown. And the first thing that you do, if you're sad, you play music. If you're happy, you play music. You know, a celebration, it's what everyone gets on the dance floor for. We miss live concerts. We miss going to theatres. I miss music so much. And yet that huge, huge gap that just eases everybody's souls is not even being addressed. So to think that we're doing that now, and I get to do it with my girls, and they get to see that if they actually, they can use, you know, their music lessons and their little talents that they've cultivated. They can use it to actually put something together that's being seen in Australia. It's just brilliant.
Obviously, you've been helping teach people in lockdown, but what has lockdown taught you?
Oh, good grief. I think what's been nice about lockdown for us is that all those people that you think you need to surround yourself by, and you just need that little handful, don't you? And that's my family, and that's the ones that I really, really miss, you know, my girlfriends. But actually, I don't need very much. And the people that I miss are the ones that are, they're the ones that come into the wedding, put it that way.
And when is the wedding?
Well, I don't know, because I wanted to have a lockdown wedding because I thought it'd be really romantic.
It's
really, you know what? I went to a lockdown wedding and it was, you know, lovely that she made it happen, but it, you know, you've only got 15 people that can come, and as I've said, I've got 7 in my family already.
Yeah, that's so few, isn't it?
It would be really, really tricky. So I don't need to have a massive wedding, but I just need to be able to have some close friends there. Well, maybe 15 is enough, but I think it's as much about my children having who they want there as well, rather than just us, because it's been a crikey, it has genuinely been a massive journey for all of us. To put a blended family together is no mean feat, and anyone who is part of a blended family will know that. So I think for us to have got this far, it's together, it would be nice to have that as a celebration together.
So watch this space for when it is.
Well, I mean, it's like the longer lockdown goes on, the more we've kind of lost all reality. And here is wearing a Wonder Woman costume.
And why ever not?
Oh, and why ever not? But yeah, entrances are being planned through the ceiling, like superheroes. You know, when kids plan the wedding, it just takes on a whole different angle.
A superhero entrance. Love it. So a question that we always ask as we're coming to the end of our podcast is, what's for tea, Mylene?
Oh, what's for tea? Chicken fajitas.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So here's this thing. I found out, because I was doing it on the radio, that most people, think of all the dishes that are in the world. Most people work a 6-meal rotation. And I remember saying to my producer, that's ridiculous, before realising I probably only work a 5-meal rotation.
And what are they?
Chicken Kievs and salad, Chinese, curry, pizza, pasta, fajitas.
I like all of those things.
So do I, and only those things. If you think about, you know how you just never know what to cook?
Never.
Well, even if you don't know what to cook, it's like if new ideas are offered to you, you still think, nah, what I really need is like a pizza or a curry.
I'm going to go away and think now what my 6 are. You've given me, I'm worried that I don't even
know. That's why I'm trying to think of mine now, yeah.
I didn't realise I've gone the full Karen. I just don't really, I do not come out of my comfort zone with food. I love trying new things. That is true, I suppose. But
it's much nicer to try new things when someone else is cooking them for you.
That's true. That's true. But don't you find them at the moment? I just think the hours that we're all doing, you know, you're trying to work and you're trying to homeschool and the baby is a full-time job in his own right. And then you're doing the cooking. I actually like laundry. My fiance and I, we've got a deal going. He seems to hate laundry and I hate cooking. So it works out really well.
Right, on to the last question, Mylene, and one which I think you're going to find easier than a lot of guests we've had on.
Don't ask me any trigonometry or fronted adverbials. Don't ask me anything.
Don't
like
worry.
That. Don't.
What we ask is that you imagine you're tucking Wendy and I into bed and you sing us your family lullaby, because every mum has a song that they sing to their kids when their kids can't sleep, and we want to hear what yours is.
I mean, I've got like a whole set list.
I know. We've got all the time in the world. Off you go.
L is for the way you look at me. O is for the only one I see. V is very, very extraordinary. E is even more than anyone that I adore. And love is, join in, is all that I can give to you. Love is more than just a game. No, you don't join in that one.
No, we don't join in because our listeners all unsubscribe if we sing.
What do you sing? Or what do you, you could do the whole Rex Harrison, like speak it instead of sing it.
Yeah, I don't sing to my children because it would scar them for life.
Oh, no.
My husband makes awful jokes about my singing all the time. I'm really
and truly very terrible.
I don't believe that. Here's the thing, your kids will still think you're like the best. They'll think I'm Mariah Carey.
I can just about manage Twinkle Twinkle if I'm lucky, Annie.
It's good enough.
My problem is, so you know that Mylene might not know, but Wendy knows, I cry at everything. So if I try and sing anything too emotional or like nice to my kids at bedtime, I just burst into tears.
Do you? So, at your own singing?
Yeah.
Most people burst into tears at her singing, to be honest.
What makes me cry every single time I read it? The Places You'll Go.
I don't know that.
What?
Yeah, you do. Dr. Seuss.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, not the same effect.
Oh, well, Mylene, on the note of us being terrible and you being wonderful, thank you so much.
Hardly. For coming on the podcast. Are you joking? I'll have to go and burn dinner.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me and for, hitting some tough subjects head on. I like that.
We wish you happy Fajita Friday.
Yes.
Thank you. See how many of the peppers I burn.
It's officially gin o'clock now.
Why are you wasting time with gin when there is rum?
Dark and stormy is all the way, Mylene.
Well, yeah. Well done.
Well, Mylene, thank you very much. And we wish you the best of luck with however long lockdown lasts.
Yes, good luck, Mylene.
Thank you. And to you, ladies. Thank you.
Stay well.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This episode was sponsored by Tropicana Lean. If you're trying to better manage your kids and your sugar intake, they're here to help with their delicious lower sugar juice drinks.
The new Tropicana Lean range has 40% less sugar than fruit juice on average. Now that's a big win in my eyes.
Choose from citrus fruit, tropical fruit and mixed berries and pick up a bottle from any major supermarket.